Today's sermon text comes from our gospel lesson, the parable of the sower, one of the most beloved and popular parables of the Bible. And I propose that it is beloved and popular for one reason. It gets us. It explains our souls. I had a friend once that had known me for years, and only someone that could know you for years could do this thing. But she seemed to just get me. If I were disingenuous, she would know it. If I felt one thing and said another, she would name it. And finally I said, "How do you do that? It's like you have a window into my soul." And she simply said, "I calls it as I sees it." Well, the parable of the sower calls it as it sees it. It knows our souls. And it's no wonder that Christians have felt a closeness to the beauty and the meaning of this parable all through the centuries since the day it was spoken of Jesus. And today on this sixth Sunday after Pentecost, now it is our heart's turn to hear the parable once again. Now, I have to say, I had to do a little refreshment study on farming in preparation for the sermon. I grew up near a farm, but that's about all I know about farming. Today, in today's modern world, I do know that farming is scientific. A farmer plants seeds seated at a far distance from the touch of the soil, and a cab on top of a giant tractor guided by GPS. The steel fingers plant the seed in a very measured and studied way into the ground. Not one seed is wasted. The planting does not happen unmeasured or unstudied. But in the ancient world, it was not so efficient. Many farmers, such as in our parable today, planted what is called the broadcast method. They would simply take seed and throw the seed into the air with abandonment. It would just fall where it would. And so much of the seed was wasted because much of it fell on ground on which it could find no lodging. But enough fell on fertile soil to make it worthwhile. There was still a harvest and there is still a crop. And though this method was quite inefficient in the ancient world for planting seed, it was and is quite efficient for explaining our walk with God. In the parable today, of course, the seed represents the teachings of Christ. And then there's the description of four different types of soil: the hard-packed soil, the shallow rocky soil, the thorny soil, and finally the fertile soil. And I propose for this sermon that all those soils can be found in all of us at any time. They all represent things that we have experienced. They all should be quite familiar to us. We begin with the first soil, the hard-packed soil, the most unfortunate of all the soils, the most tragic of all the soils, the path where people just stomped on day after day, month, year after year. And there's no lodging for the seed. There's no crack in the soil. Seeds that fall into the hardened path, they simply lie as prey for predators and for birds. Seemingly, there's no hope. Life sometimes seems like that. A hope it's few and far apart, these times that we experience the hard, packed path. But when our sin or the sins of others or bad luck or mistakes or regrets or bad choices come upon us, it's simply the perfect storm of bad luck. When we enter those phases in life that are agnostic and numb, if Jesus stood 3 feet away from us, we wouldn't even hear the teaching. We've all been there, though I hope not often. Is there any hope for that? There has to be some hope, Scripture says. I'm reminding of the song of what can be done with an old hide like mine. Lord, soften it up with oil and wine. There's hope for even the hardest packed soil. So what do we do when we enter this most tragic of all the soils in our life? We go back to the basics. And what is the basics according to the Bible? The basics is the day. We hallow the concept of a 24-hour period of day. In America, we think of seasons and months and years and plans. But the Bible says that the building blocks of a spiritual life are the 24-hour periods we call a day. And when all else fails, we go back to the basics and we hallow a day. For a day is like a mini life. It has a birth, a growth, successes, failures, the cool of the day, the end of the day, and the death of the day. And if nothing else, when we go back to the basics of hallowing the concept of a day, lo and behold, like a fork kind of chiseling into that hard path, there's a crack, there's a jostling of the soil. But how do you do that? I'll tell you how. Turn to page 9 of the bulletin.
That's how.
Turn to page 9. Turn to page 9. We selected two beautiful prayers for the morning and for the evening. And as your pastor, I would like to ask you to memorize these prayers. Because when you memorize something, no one can ever take it away. It's etched on your heart forever and ever. And when we come into the numb, agnostic periods of our life, the hard-packed path, let us have such prayers in our memory and begin the day and end the day with these prayers. And lo and behold, it will jostle the soil. The book of Psalms tells us this. O Lord, in the morning while I direct my prayer. O Lord, in the night watches while I search for thee. Think about the concept of hallowing the 24-hour period of the day as the building block of life. Churches can do this too. I've known churches, and by the way, the other soils won't go this long, I promise. This is the longest soil. I've known churches that have found themselves on a hard-packed path, that where it, all hope was seemingly lost. I knew a church I worked with, not served, but worked with. They had had a series of failed rectorships. They had cannibalized their endowment. They had had schism after schism. The church simply emptied. Very few members were left. The diocese had threatened simply to take the building. And you know what they did? They went back to the basics, to the concept of day. They went to their Sunday. If we have just a Sunday left, let's just do this one right. And they sang and they held hospitality and they loved. And they finally went to the bishop and said, if we could just stay, if we have a storefront, I think there's a niche for us in this community. I don't know what happened to the parish. But at the end, at least they went back to the very basics and there was a jostling of the soil. There's always hope. And then the second type of soil, the shallow soil, but the good soil. And yet, because there are rocks that have not been unearthed, the roots of the plants cannot grow deep. And I propose that this soil is the most prevalent soil in our American privileged society. They say that we quit Sunday school about the third grade, don't we? And so often we go through life with a third grade Christian theological education. And it's no wonder later in life, when the complexities of life come upon us, after the foundation of our spirituality begins to crumble under its weight. Because our roots are shallow. And we see this in prosperous cultures because it's easy to have shallow roots. It's so easy to be a Christian. In third world countries, or countries rent by war or poverty or terror, sometimes religious roots are much deeper. Not because these things are good, because at least it's clear what's heaven and what is not. Bishop Walker, the first African-American graduate of Virginia Seminary, my alma mater, the first African-American bishop of Washington, D.C., as a young man, was a gifted preacher and he was asked to preach a series of sermons about heaven in California, in a very wealthy church. And they provided the best of the music, the best of advertising. He went and had worked so hard on his sermons and no one was there. No one attended. And went back to his hotel room on the beach on the Pacific Ocean. And the next morning he woke up and he was so discouraged. And he looked out the window. There was hundreds of people with surfboards and umbrellas. He said, oh, that's why. They already have heaven. We're so confused. We preach a heaven here, but our culture preaches a heaven there. And it's so easy to get the two confused. And so how do we grow our roots deep? Well, we take our faith seriously. We invest in our faith. We invest in our education. We have a working knowledge of the stories of the Bible, the metaphors of the Bible. We study our creeds. We study the history of Anglicanism. We do the hard thing. Martin Luther King was a great civil rights activist, but it's not said enough that he also was a theologian of depth and of meaning and of talent. And he would preach to those who were educated and uneducated alike. But he would preach to those who had deep spiritual roots. He would use images of the Bible, and the people to whom he preached were literate in those images. He would talk about the Jordan, the promised land, standing on Pisgah, the chariot that swings low. And they would know what he was talking about because they had a working knowledge. They had invested in their faith. Their roots were deep, and they could take a lot of scorching sun because of it. So how do we grow our roots deep? Study the stories of the Bible. Cliff notes are okay if you need them for the Bible. Learn the stories and the metaphors and the image. Learn our creeds. Learn the theology of which we claim Sunday after Sunday. And yes, it takes work and musing and study. But our roots grow. Our religion requires much of us. It requires the deepening of roots. And then thirdly, there's the soil, good soil, the deep soil, but soil with weeds and thorns. And Jesus equated the weeds with the lure of wealth. It's funny how Jesus talked about money all the time. We Episcopalians never talk about money. We pastors dread the fall of the year when I have to ask you for a pledge card. It is embarrassing, but not for Jesus, because he knew the close relationship between our souls and spirits and money. Because where your treasure is, where? There your heart is also. If you want to know what's important in someone's life, look at the check ledger. Jesus knew this, and he tied money to spirit. I think there's a parallel here with the season of Lent. People often laugh about giving up chocolate for Lent. It seems so trivial. I don't think it's trivial at all to connect food with what we give up for Lent, because our appetite is always before us. If we give up a certain food for Lent, we know for 40 days that it is Lent, because our appetites, we are aware of our appetites. The same as with money. When we connect money to our spirit, we are always aware. We are always aware of our faith. So what do we do to avoid the lure of wealth? We tithe. I'm not talking about a literal, linear, legalistic sense of 5%, 10%. Tithing simply means to be deliberate in the giving of whatever you have, poor or wealthy, for the greater good of others, enough that it affects the money that you have left, that we have to be deliberate in the management of our money. And we connect our money to the Spirit. We will always be aware of the Spirit, because our appetite is always before our face. And then finally, there's the fertile soil. We finally get to the good soil. This is a soil, and I hope we most of us live in the soil, because life is short. I hope we live in the soil much of the time. This is when we hear the scripture, we hear the hymns, we look at our architecture, we serve our Lord with gusto. We read, mark, learn, inwardly digest the stories of the Bible. And we know that the chief end of why we exist is to serve and love God. It has to be more than just getting up in the morning, going to sleep, eating and drinking. And so these are the times that we know what we know, what we know, why we are here for. Thank God for the fertile soil. But the question is this for the sermon. Is it just luck what soil we happen to be living in? I hope it's not just the luck of the draw. Can we participate at all regarding where we happen to be? Sometimes we can't. Circumstances, we will find ourselves in all the soils. But our faith teaches us that, yes, faith comes by grace. But we do participate in our salvation. We do have a part to play. We can do things to encourage the fertile soil in our lives. I love the story of the Indian chief, the Native American chief, talking to his braves. And he said to the braves, all of us have two dogs in us. There's a good dog that barks and leads us to tasks which satisfy and delight us to good things. And there's a bad dog in us, too, that leads us to things that hurt us and destroy us. And one day, the strong dog, the good dog seems stronger. The other day, the bad dog seems stronger. And one of the braves said, which dog wins in the end? And the chief said, the one you feed. The one you feed. And that's what the purpose of sacrament and church and hymns and in service and community and hospitality and parish life is all about. It feeds us for the good, fertile soil. People, I've only been here 3 months, and so many people say, what is your vision? Can you articulate a vision for transfiguration? No, I cannot right now. But the parable of the sower can. Our vision. Our vision and our mission is to encourage people that come into these doors and all represent all these soils, wherever they might be. Encourage them for the fertile soil. Love them. Show hospitality. Be a positive place. Be a brave church, a courageous church, to lead them to things. Lead them to the love of Jesus. So that when you hear the seeds of teaching, they are received. May we feed the fertile soil as taught to us today by the parable of the sower. A parable that gets us. Amen.